Hello and welcome.
Jeez, I like that. I would have thought there would have been some sort of voiceover action just to give a little bit further introduction. Just Downtown is a very nice tune.
Like a bit of Gaze from Three.
A little bit of that would have been nice. Something out there. But perhaps the production values, I guess in the afternoon, the budget's not quite there and we just sort of taper off a little bit. But not to worry because I'm happy to be here and excited to just listen to your beautiful dulcet tones.
Beautiful to see you again.
Because there's actually a little bit of extra spunk about your presentation in the afternoons because it is a completely different set of circumstances as opposed to getting up early in the morning.
And is it not lovely?
It is a beautiful thing. And it was interesting because I'm locked in 11:16, 24/7.
Of course you are.
And when you jump in the car and hearing the promotions about all the new shows coming up, disappointed that not being able to interact with the beautiful audience out there, but the arousal levels just sort of, there was a warm flush that come over me when the realisation that the 4 o'clock alarm wasn't going to be sounding.
Can I let you in on a little secret? And I don't mean to be divulging information about David Schwartz's private life that he doesn't want to have other people knowing about. Mm. But he did his second day of Breakfast Radio today.
Right.
And I saw him this morning.
Adjustment period, surely.
On the first day of doing Breakfast Radio, he had his alarm set for 3:45.
That's ridiculous.
He lives in Bowen Head, so he's got to drive a long way. Mm. He realised that he needs sleep.
Right.
So he pushed the alarm back 2 minutes. He had the alarm for the second day set for 3:47.
That means a lot. You know, Andy, and all those that work the shifts early on, that extra couple of minutes,
oh my goodness,
that is
gracious
a big,
me.
Big adjustment.
Now, you haven't bought a pair of your own undies for how many years? Melinda would have been buying your undies for how many years?
Well,
now?
I'm sort of rolling with the new age, and there are occasions, I'd say 75% of the time I'll actually don the undie, but
the free-balling
situation, and particularly if you've got the short these days.
Please tell me you've got underpants on right now.
Absolutely, I do.
Good.
Let me just check.
No, we don't.
I do. The very cheap version. I like the boxer setup.
That's when you would go with the boxer.
I would roll with the boxer. Yep. But
the loose boxer or the tight boxer?
No, I like the one that's got the nice little pouch just to harness the gear in a place where you know that if you're going to have a jog or you're going to be engaging in some sort of physical activity, there's the appropriate level of support.
Well, you don't go running in that sort of underwear.
Well, you do. And as you get
you
older,
don't.
Yeah, of course you do.
No, you don't.
No, provided it has the appropriate setup. And, of course, there's that horrible disease that the men have to deal with, the sacasonthias, that can cause horrific problems. Horrific problems. The chafing, the odour, the whole setup. So all that, very, very important
why
with the undie selection.
Why didn't you do any of this gear when you were doing Brekkie Radio? We might still have a job.
Well, I was asleep. Right. I was asleep most of the time.
Yeah, you just before
and we had to go to a commercial every 2 minutes. So it never really gave us a lot of time to share our experiences.
That is true. What is the jock that you've kept yourself coming back to that you find if when you go and you're going to buy your own underwear? There's the fit trunk, there's the hipster brief, there's the G-banger, there's the action brief, there's the tight boxer, the loose boxer, there's the bog catcher. Mm. Which one have you found yourself going to? We need to know because, as we've said on a couple of occasions, the Y-front, which gets a bit of a rough going.
No, the Y-front, that's an outdated setup.
Bit of flippage in the, you can often find yourself
that's exactly
popping
what I was
out of the
about
Y-front when you don't want to
say. And it is very, very hard to readjust without others sort of saying, oh, there's some issues going on there. Whereas with the package type setup,
yeah, it's tight.
No problem, just a little clench of the thighs and the hips and bang, she's back in and just right back where you want it to be.
Now, we have got some issues to talk about.
Is this going to make the Facebook page?
I don't think it will. We've got some issues we need to talk about, but before we get
I'll tell you what I need to do. I really want to talk about as well. There's a couple of things, and that is I want to talk about Matthew Dellavedova. Did you read in the article?
Well, hang on.
But we want to get to that.
Don't
but
get
also
to the nuts and bolts of you. We'll talk to Dellavedova. We'll talk about that, Dellavedova. Yeah, what else do you want to talk about?
I went to the tennis last night.
Okay, you don't want to talk about that.
And I need to talk about that.
Okay, we'll talk about that as well. Pete's in Reservoir, and he's been brave enough to join in the conversation about underpants at 16 minutes. Past one. Good afternoon, Pete.
Good afternoon, fellas. Great to hear you back together.
Good on you, Pistol. Great to have you on board.
Nah, no worries, mate. As Gacy knows, I'm a truck driver, and when you're a truck driver,
yep,
you got to have the right slacks, mate, or else you're in trouble.
Of course you do.
So, which way do you go, Pete?
Briefs are the way to go.
Yep. Briefs.
Couldn't agree more.
The briefs. Mm. And I'll tell you what, I'll give them a plug. I've tried every single brief. I've tried Bonds and all those other, whatever you want to call them.
Yep. The brands. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the brands. The ones that, I think they're from Kmart, that yep. say Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on them.
Yeah, right.
They are the bomb. Mm.
So Kmart daily identifiable under briefs.
I think they actually, I don't think you can buy them singularly. I think they only come in packs.
Right. Hopefully there's seven to a pack. Yep. If there's only six to a pack and you need to be doubling up, are you one of these people, Pete, who if you're just stretching a little bit and you haven't done enough washing, you occasionally just turn them inside out and whack them on again?
Of course you do.
No. I'm not like Gazy with his tracky decks, mate.
No, righto.
When I was living Good, by Pete. Myself, that formula did come and play every so often.
I need you to do something, right? And it's going to be difficult for you because you won't be standing up. You when you're doing it before, you're standing up. And it was a spectacular display of the sort of thing that we need to get across on the radio. But Marco came in to the studio and he was having a bit of a shoot around with his boy, basketball, and he was struggling with the free throws.
Of course.
And he wanted advice on how he could start knocking them down. Mm-hmm. So he gave you a call.
Yep.
And you gave him a little bit of advice
just
on the phone.
A couple of little heads up things to focus on.
And everything changed.
Well, it did. It helped.
What did you tell him to do?
Well, primarily I said, when you're talking about the free throw or any basketball action.
And if anyone is keen on basketball, this is a lesson right here.
Absolutely it is.
So listen in.
I very rarely give this for free.
Yep.
But the key is that the follow through is the most critical part, in my opinion.
Right.
If you can finish with a snap of the wrist, imparting some backspin on the ball, and you're pointing at the rim, you're halfway home.
Right.
So the process you go through in order to get to there can be a little bit awkward, and you want to tidy it up. But ultimately, as long as you're ending with releasing the ball, snapping your wrist, and you're pointing at the rim, you're halfway home.
You tell me about your lineup,
your
address position. This is
when you're shooting a free throw, a lot of people will see the rim, and they'll go and stand, and they'll plant themselves in dead set in
so
the middle
the
of the rim.
Day, the 8 day
the
is
eight
point,
days
yeah,
point
right,
in the middle
yeah,
of the rim.
Yeah.
Now, that is actually incorrect. What you should be doing is whatever hand you shoot with, that foot should be right smack bang in the middle of the rim.
I never knew this.
Yes, it should. Now, a lot of people don't do this, and a lot of the senior players don't do it either. But you put your foot in line with the middle of the basket, and that way, when you're going up with whatever hand it is,
it's going to
be in line with the middle of the basket. You don't have to bring your hand closer to the middle.
That is a very, very good tip for all up-and-coming basketballers out there.
I feel like I'm a bit of... what's the golfing guy
With KB. Of course. Oh.
It's just... I've got a mental plan.
What's his name?
Yeah, but you know.
Yeah, you know what we're talking about.
A bit of that going on
he's magnificent. Hmm. Hey, I haven't seen you. You've been in Hawaii having a family holiday, and that's terrific. Mm. I haven't seen you since the President of the United States of America last week in the house, one of somewhere, was to have the guests in the house.
Extraordinary.
And he talked about this young man.
You know, LSU has a pretty good sports team, sports teams historically. I thought I might mention you got an okay basketball player named Ben Simmons in the house. So his dad played in Australia with my Secretary of Education, Arnie Duncan. So they can hoop. But I think they would both acknowledge that Ben is better. And it's wonderful to have him here.
Now get out of here.
That is extraordinary. You've got the President of the United States talking about yourself, if you're Ben Simmons. How mind-blowing is that? The most powerful man on the earth is mentioning your name. And Dave Simmons gets a mention
He does. Lives in, I think the president went on to mention Box Hill.
Well, he did. And what happened was he got it, his research department, very, very good effort.
Yeah.
Very fine. But he never played with him. He played against him because Arnie Duncan played for Brian Gorgian at the Spectres.
Right, okay. Yeah.
And Ben and Dave was with us. That's good enough, close enough, but extraordinary.
Phenomenal. And here we are, Gazy. We're in a position where it looks like this kid's going to, he's going to be right in the mix of the number one draft pick. And you've been
guaranteed to be in the top three.
Okay. And you've been talking to, you've been telling us on this radio station for probably three or 4 years, get your head around this guy's name. And a couple of years ago, you told me also that Daryl White, who played some magnificent football for the Brisbane Lions, has a kid who
got
is
two
a,
kids that are but very
one
good.
Of, well, one of them in particular is a very serious basketballer. I was reading somewhere in the paper the other day that Daryl White's kid is going to follow Ben Simmons and be every single bit as good and perhaps even get himself into that number one draft pick type conversation.
Different position. So they're different types of players. Yeah. And
that doesn't mean he can't be a number one draft pick.
Absolutely
and
not.
It certainly doesn't mean he can't be any good.
He's very, very good. Not can't be. He is already very, very good. I think it's a bit ambitious to put him into the same sort of category as Ben Simmons.
Did you read that story the other day?
I didn't read it, no.
Okay, there was a story the other
day. I know the players very, very well.
It was an American story too.
Yes, and he's very, very good. Don't get me wrong. But Ben Simmons is every single college game. I was over there in Hawaii, but you get all the American broadcasts. And even when it was a non-related game, everyone's just talking about Ben Simmons and the capacity that what he has to be the next LeBron James. They're putting him realistically in the conversation right now as a 19-year-old as in the same category as LeBron James, if you don't mind.
Of course it's Rowan Dummett. That's an early come on man for us.
Right.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
It's back.
Some things are just too good to say goodbye to. And
of course they are.
We're of the view, and you can agree or disagree. But we don't really want to know whether you agree or disagree. Now, we just want you to participate in Come On Man. Now, Come On Man, in case you didn't listen to Morning Glory, is a segment where if anything's just got you going, come on, man. You can't be doing that. You can't be saying that. Mm-hmm. You can't be wearing that. You can't be doing that. Whatever it is, this is your chance to identify and out people for doing stuff they just shouldn't be doing.
And it also provides the opportunity for our audience to use it to launch. Just launch on someone.
Just launch on something.
And then just we can make comment.
But the only rider in it all is you have to do your very best.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
You have to stamp it with a little bit of come on, man. You can't just go come on, man, either in your normal speaking voice. You've got to pretend you're on, and this is a complete rip-off. We understand that it's a rip-off, so don't start texting us in. We know we're tearing it straight off ESPN, or it might have been Fox. I don't know where it's coming from.
ESPN.
It's one of those areas. We're stealing it. And we stole it, and we're doing it, and that's just the way it is.
Proudly steal it.
Thieving it.
Yes, we are. Do you want to give an example?
I would love you to give me an example.
Well, I'm going to give you an example. This is how you normally should present it, because watching the NFL playoffs, and there have been some spectacular games.
There have been some
fantastic stuff.
Yes, there has been.
And in particular, the Green Bay Packers taking on the Cardinals. Did you see that one, Andy?
It
was an extraordinary
performance. Unbelievable game.
And it went to OT.
Yes, it did, with another Hail Mary from Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. That was just, what about the catch?
And what about the catch?
What about, was it Johnson?
Jeff Janis.
Janis.
Jeff Janis or Janis.
Whatever his name
is. And then Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry Fitz.
Fitzpatrick, Fitzwarren.
How does a man, if you're not familiar with NFL, he's a wide receiver that virtually, he's a superstar.
He's a superstar.
He's one of the all-time great wide receivers. And on this play in extra time, there was no one within 20 metres, I reckon.
None.
They blitzed.
Because the play got broken and Carson Palmer gets flushed.
But still, if you've got the best receiver running if there's someone 3 or 4 metres away, you go, well, okay, well, there's a bit of a slip-up. There was no one within 20 metres.
You know what you say to your defensive unit? You say, no matter what happens, in fact, this is a come-on man for the whole... beg your pardon, keep going. Sorry.
Working smoothly.
Keep going.
So, well, I've got two.
Then. Right, you got well, you made so this, you made this one up, but you didn't have this.
I did.
No, you didn't.
So the first one was for him to be that wide open and to defensively to have such a massive breakdown at this level, the most crucial part of the season. Come on, man!
Spot on.
But before that, prior to that.
There you go. I knew that wasn't one of yours.
No, it wasn't. I'm adding two. what happened was, they when you go in extra time, you got to toss the coin.
Oh!
So you've got to go in there, and the umpire gets a coin, right out of heads, and you decide if you win, you go tails. So they toss it.
Well,
all right. Yeah. And the Cardinals were going to, if they, you know, they had to make a decision whether they're going to kick or. So they toss it. And as the umpire tosses the coin doesn't.
It's just flat. It's just flat.
I reckon if you gave someone a chance, 1,000 flips.
It's impossible to do it.
It is impossible to do it. But somehow or other, this umpire was able to lob this disc and it went up in the air, did not toss at all, and went down and landed on the ground.
And then when it hit the ground, it didn't even turn.
And so that to the umpire, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Flip the coin. How hard is it to flip a coin in?
Turn it over. It's just got
turn
to flip
it over
a couple
at least
of times.
Once.
Exactly. If you're going to come on, man, that's the style that you've got to deliver it in. And if we got Pataki's, have we still got Kerry, have we still got Pataki's? Every come on, man, participant
still
is going to.
Pataki's.
They're still there. He's going to pick up. Oh, bugger it. They're picking up two Pataki's. It's our first week.
Right.
Well, they're picking up two Pataki's.
No, they're not. They're picking up one.
One.
I didn't pick mine up at the end of last year. Okay. They're picking up one.
No, they're getting two Pataki's for having a go.
All right.
Steve, you are in Lillardale. You know that because you already told us.
Yes.
Give us your come on, man, please.
Hey, has that Pataki ham been sitting around since Christmas?
No.
It's in the fridge. It's been in the fridge,
fresh.
Though. No, they're in the fridge.
There's millions of pigs that are really upset the fact that there are still some new ones there, but nevertheless.
I don't like doing this, but I'm going to call out Glenn Maxwell, Victoria's own, in the cricket the other night.
Yep.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but they needed 15. He needed 15 for a ton.
Yeah.
Australia needed 11 to win.
Yes.
And he smashes a 6 and then a 4. And with the next ball, and they only needed 1 to win, but he needed 4 for his ton. He's come down the wicket and tried to hit the ball into the stratosphere.
Yes.
And got out. And then afterwards in the interview, he's like, oh, no, I was just trying to chip it over to you for one.
Did
I didn't even think about the ton. Just wanted to get the one for the victory. Maxie. Come on, man. Come on.
Oh, Steve.
Steve, I like you've up into everything you've
brilliant.
Done. Yeah, you've absolutely nailed it. Jeff, we'll give you the chance to give it one more crack at the come on, man.
Now, Maxie, come on, man.
There you go. Steve, because you've kicked it off so well, not only are you picking up two Pataki's, but you're going to get a couple of bottles of wine to drink with one red and one white thanks to AR Property Investments.
Nice.
Well played by you. Mm. Go on, Gozy.
Hey, Michael's in Roxborough. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, g'day, boys. How are we?
Yeah, really good.
I have to adjust, Andy, with you being on in the afternoon, mate. I miss you on the morning glory.
Well, funny you should mention that because Krazza, with his 35,908th text message, Michael has said, I feel like I'm 8 hours late for work.
Look, I could have a great topic, but Andy, during the Dustin Martin chopstick gate saga,
yes.
Some of the commentary that you made was like, come on, man.
Oh.
Well, you were suggesting that, you know, he could even get up to 10 years jail.
Oh, I never said that.
Yes, you did.
No.
It was crazy. Like,
I never said 10 years jail.
Yeah, and Benny Gale said it best, where he said, you know, our club didn't get hysterical, start convicting the guy before the actual investigation went through. And how do you feel now, mate?
No, I never said 10 years jail. And there would have been a lot of if.
I don't think he said, I was there at the time.
No,
he didn't say 10 years. He was very, very emotive, as he should
KB
be.
KB went harder than anyone else on this radio
12
station.
Months, I think,
he said
KB.
12 months and a $50,000.
And he hasn't backed away from it,
no,
which I respect
not.
From the great man.
No, I was not 10 years, so I don't know where that's come from, Michael, but you can please hold me to account any time you like, but if you're going to whack me, I think you just need to get your facts right. I never said 10 years.
No,
that's
I don't
crazy.
Recall 10
that's
years.
I
that wouldn't have slipped by.
You'd
me.
Like to agree with Michael if you could. It would be in keeping with you to do that.
I would love to agree with Michael. But no, he definitely did.
You've still got a couple of Pataki's coming your way, though, Mick, because that's just the way we roll here.
Wow. Craig's in Montrose. Good morning, Craig. What am I talking? Good afternoon, Craig. Sorry, Craig.
I was about to say good morning myself, guys. Listening to you blokes in the afternoon, throwing the body clock out.
Yeah, no, it's a bit weird for us too, mate.
It is.
Yeah. Dwayne Bravo, boys.
Hmm?
Comes out to that song. Everybody knows Dwayne Bravo's a champion. Struts out last night. Cam White's wicket's gone down. Gale seeing like pumpkins and plays a shot that a backyard cricketer would be embarrassed about. Seriously, I mean, come on, man.
Isn't that the nature of that setup, though, that players are going to sort of explore and experiment with that type of those types of shots, aren't we? We can't judge it on what we consider normal or fundamental cricket.
Craig, here was the incident. You'll agree with this because you know your sport. Not necessarily you have to agree with me to know your sport, but the insanity of last night, Chris Gale looked like he was bowling batting against a bunch of under-14 bowlers. No other player for the Renegades could hit the thing. None of them could get near it. It was bizarre. It was a bizarre innings to actually watch unfold.
It was, Andy. It definitely was. It was great being there, great atmosphere when Gale was teeing off. But Cam White, wickets forward, all Bravo had to do was push it around and let the big fella unleash, and just crazy stuff.
It was. Yeah. Steve, you got a couple of batokis, Craigo. Steve's in Tyab. A couple of batokis already coming your way, Steve. Fire away.
Wow.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Yeah, good, Steve. Thank you.
Good. Same age demographic as you two fellas. I took my young bloke to the Big Bash first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, being an old fella, we get there half an hour early, settled in with the boys. Anyway, half a dozen young blokes, you know, with the man bun, beard, sort of, you know, the hipster type flogs. They get there fashionably late. So up and down, we miss the first hour of cricket because they're up and down buying beer. And then for the next two or three hours, they're proceeding to take selfies of themselves, standing up and down, standing in front of the ball as it's being bowled. Come on, man!
No, that's very good. That is, if you don't understand etiquette,
yes.
Ask a few questions before mm-hmm. you get there
mm-hmm.
for the sake of all other viewers going around. Steve, a couple of batokis coming your way. Hey, just before we get to the break,
can I get a last quick come on, man?
Of course you can.
I went to the tennis last night, and fantastic night, and they do a great job. It's brilliant. And saw Roger Federer. What a performance.
Did he suck it out, Gazy?
Well, I was there, and I was second row from the front, and I thought I had eye contact at once.
How much do those tickets cost you?
The good folk at Channel 7 said that we'd like you to come along and have a bit of a look.
Okay, right.
Back in the day when I was used to play, it used to be second week, possibly a semi-final before that invitation. Now I'm sort of been persona non grata. Just day one. That's where it's... But I'm happy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, of course
I'm not ungrateful. No, it was fantastic to see a world-class athlete. But the issue I have is... People in the crowd, if you're going to try and yell out something smart, funny or some sort of smarty bum comment, just maybe have a think about it. Maybe a bit of rehearsal. Run it by your mates, see if they have a chuckle. Because there's some people attempting some real poxy humour. And it's a bit cringeworthy, really. So just back it off a yard. Just sit there and enjoy it, and away we go.
Obviously, a huge night down there at Melbourne Park, Gazy. Tonight would have been the night that if you're really on the front line from the network's sort of, you know, PR-type machine's perspective...
I did drop a hint.
You'd probably be there tonight, I would have thought, for Lele. And Twitter Australia, which I must say, I don't know whether Twitter all over the world is as progressive and as proactive as the team in Australia are, but they do a fantastic job, and they really get around events like this, and it's already become
Twitter Australia, you mean?
Twitter Australia, the people who run Twitter in Australia. But Twitter has become such an integral way of watching sport for so many of us now. It's almost like you can't watch. If you're watching something on TV, you've almost got to have Twitter roll alongside to see if people are thinking the same thing that you are. And it's hashtag Hugh Beauty Night tonight.
Beautiful.
With Leighton Hewitt and Jono Simpson, the head of sport at Twitter Australia, has been good enough to join us to tell us why. Hello, Jono.
Boys, how are we?
Good thanks,
mate.
Jono.
Hey, it's good. It's great. And it's a really cute, nice thing to do to attach from a social media perspective to what is going to be a really significant night. Hopefully there are a few of them between now and then. But what's the benefit in creating something like a hashtag Hugh Beauty on a night like this, Jono?
Well, I think it's just, you know, we work really closely with Tennis Australia and the guys at Australian Open, and we knew that it was going to be a special tournament for Leighton. And he's an Aussie hero. And, you know, we want to make sure that we support him, that we're encouraging him, and we really do justice to his career, which has been absolutely phenomenal. So I think we just want to make sure that fans can rally behind him, you know, use a cute little, what we call Twitter emoji. So when you, on Twitter, put a hashtag Hugh Beauty, Leighton's little face comes up with his backwards hat and his little come on. So we just want to make sure that we're doing good by one of our Aussie local heroes.
Which you are. And for those, you know, there'll be a lot of people listening going, what are they talking about Twitter for? Who gives a stuff about Twitter and Instagram? And there's still a lot of people in our demographic listening, Jono, who haven't made the switch over to social media. If they were to do it and there is a hashtag that is common to a subject matter like Leighton Hewitt's game of tennis tonight, what is the actual practical benefit of having that hashtag?
I think we often talk about hashtags as kind of this communal campfire So if you imagine when you used to go out camping with your mates and you put the campfire around and just sit around talking, maybe playing a few songs, just chewing the fat and having fun together, that's what I think a hashtag does. It brings all these people from around the world, no matter where they are, who are interested in the same things, and they're talking about the same thing at the same time and having conversations and engaging with one another. Perfect. And you can discover new people, you can discover amazing content, videos and photos and whatever it may well be. So I think a hashtag really just unifies the community, I guess, that you're part of. So it's not just everybody on Twitter, it's just those people who are interested in that certain topic, which makes it really relevant to you.
No, it's a beautiful thing, Jono. But over the holidays, when I was in the States, I was reading up about Twitter, and there's been a lot of innovation over the last 6 months. And there's a suggestion that I was reading that perhaps they're going to add to the number of characters.
Do this.
So that you'll still only have the 148 or whatever it is, but there's an opportunity where you can put in place more characters.
10,000.
Is that going to go ahead?
Oh, look, I don't want to predict what's coming in the future, but I think what we're always thinking about is how can we make the experience better for new users, as well as maintain the love and passion that you guys clearly have for the actual product at the moment, so our core users at the moment. So one of those options could be to help people say things better in more than 140 characters. Now, I'm a big 140 character proponent. Mm-hmm. I love that I have to think and be creative around what I want to say. I can add photos and I can add videos and I can talk to other people's handles and what have you. But we do tend to see a lot of, and particularly athletes, it's interesting where they may take a screenshot of something they've written that's longer than 140 characters.
True,
and
yep.
And post it as a tweet. Now, wouldn't it be interesting if they could just put their actual thoughts down? And if you wanted to read the whole thing, you'd still see the 140 characters. You could then press more, and you'd then see more.
Oh, okay, right. Oh, that's okay.
No, I like it.
No, that makes a difference.
Yeah, get that done, will you, Jono, please?
Yeah, I know. I'm in that. I'm not against that now. So I just didn't want to wake up in the morning and have a whole lot of 10,000-word essays in front of me so that you'd see. You have to scroll down multiple times to get to the next.
We don't want to annoy you, Andy. We don't want to make your experience worse.
So why not?
I'm going to pass this on to Jack. Oh. I'm going to send it to Jack, the email saying, Andy at SEN has given the seal of approval for what we're thinking about.
If you wouldn't mind, that would be lovely. Hey, just one last one before we let you go. Last night, again, my Twitter feed was full of BBL last night, Chris Gale, and not a lot of Sam Stosur. And I woke up this morning, I thought, gee, that's surprising. Like, I'm really surprised that it was so overwhelming, right, that there wasn't the same fervour for the conversation about Stosur that there was in my Twitter feed for Chris Gale. And I noticed this morning, listen to this, Gazy.
Please.
Jono, Chris Gale, you'll know this, trended number one nationally, number seven worldwide last night.
You're joking.
Number seven worldwide. And guess what trended number two last night?
What?
While all this was going on. Travis Head, who could stand up in most people's porridge and they wouldn't know who he is, was trending number two last night, Jono.
I think it's because how awesome was it? Like,
it was awesome
last night. That 50 of his off 12 balls, I think it was. Like, that's unheard of. Obviously, the second person ever to do it. That's what brings people to Twitter, and they're just passionate about talking about it. And just the amount of comments, people going, this is amazing, never seen anything like it, isn't this just phenomenal, versus a round one game at the Australian Open where it was a generic tennis match where Sam was, you know, on the ropes. You know, people are much more excited and want to tweet about things that are phenomenal. And I think that's what Chris Gale brought to the table last night. And also from our perspective, cricket is probably the biggest sport on Twitter in Australia. If you look at who's the most followed athletes, if you were to look at the top three most followed athletes in the country, three of them have retired. So you've got Warney, you've got Michael Clarke, you've got Brett Lee. They've got 1.5, 1.6 million followers. And then the guys like Warner and Smith coming up now, they're the most followed athletes in this country. So cricket really does dominate the conversation when it comes to sport in terms of what's happening in Australia. But I think the tennis is going to grow now. And now that we're going through to the next round, it's going to keep getting bigger and bigger.
Jono, before we let you go, who is the most followed athlete in the world?
In the world, that's a good question without notice.
Oh, sorry.
I reckon it could be Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Right.
What's he got, do you know?
It's going to be him. No, maybe 10 million. Don't quote me on that, but we'll have a quick look.
Nah, it'd be more than that. I think LeBron's got 23 million.
What do you got? How many you got?
A little less than that.
We've got to get a break. Jono, always good to hear from you. Okay, good work. Thanks for joining us. Good on you. It's just magnificent to have Gazy back in the studio. He'll be here every Tuesday, which is magnificent. Well, hopefully. Well, there's some... I know there's some conversations we have with management.
No,
I'm sure you'll sort all that out.
Right.
Hey.
Please.
If you're, just before we move.
I'm really disappointed that you haven't touched on Leighton Hewitt being regarded as the most dirtiest player in the competition.
Sorry?
They did a top... Here's check this out. They did a survey of all the players.
Who did?
It was in the LA Times, I think it was, in one of the LA papers. Yeah, yeah. And they
what
did
do you mean the dirtiest
It just
player?
Came out yesterday. They did a ranking of the dirtiest player, a survey. Have a guess who the
in
top
tennis.
Three. Have it? No, in basketball.
You just said Leighton Hewitt.
Do I?
Yes.
Are you joking?
No, you said Leighton Hewitt. Who are you talking about?
Issues.
Who are you talking about?
Matthew Dellavedova.
Are you talking about Leighton Hewitt?
Did I say that?
Yes.
Did Leighton Hewitt come out of my
yes,
mouth?
Yes, it did.
Oh, you threw me. They're doing a thing about Matthew Dellavedova.
Oh, well,
did
of
you
course,
see that?
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't see it, but it doesn't surprise me.
Well, have a guess who the top three were.
Well, Dellavedova.
Mm-hmm.
All basketball, all sports.
No, this is the top three in the NBA.
Oh, I don't know. We'll never
well, they were Stephen Adams.
Never heard of him.
New Zealand player.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Andrew Bogut.
Oh, really?
Australian player.
Oh, so they just hate Antipodeans.
What is going
on? They just don't like us.
What is going on?
Well,
now, that
know.
Is ridiculous. That I was really upset about that because what that is, and I think it speaks more to the Americans and the way they view their sport, and in particular
yeah,
basketball.
Yeah, yeah,
because you know what it says?
They're soft.
They play... All three of those guys play hard.
Yeah,
they don't play dirty.
No,
they play hard.
Exactly, exactly. Ronaldo from Ange, 39.9 million followers. Kim Kardashian, 39.2. Gazy, 39.8 thousand. So
oh, that's
you're not really in the
Solid.
Conversation. If it was your call and your call alone,
mm-hmm.
Would Chris Gayle be welcomed back into Big Bash League number 6 with open arms?
I don't know about with open arms, but he shouldn't be suspended. He should be
welcome
back.
Not about
being
suspended. There's some conversation
well,
that
they're
takes
talking...
place that he'll never be welcomed back again.
Well, and they'd put in regulations so they wouldn't allow him back into the competition. But I think that's a bit over the top. It was grossly inappropriate, what his behaviour. But I don't think it's a hang of an offence. I think it's you live and learn, and hopefully he's... Learn a lesson from it all?
I don't know. That's the problem with Chris Gayle. I don't think Chris Gayle will learn
a lesson
from it. Chris Gayle doesn't want to learn a lesson about this sort of stuff. This is the
image.
I don't think he does. This is the
deep down, somewhere in the deep down of the cockles.
He doesn't care.
No.
He went out the night after with a Playboy t-shirt on, that night off, with a Playboy t-shirt on, having photos taken, plastering him all over Instagram. So it was like... I am a Playboy.
Even now, after all he's been through?
I don't think he cares. I don't think he...
I think he would
I don't
care.
Know Chris Gayle from a bar of soap, but I don't think his manner and perspective on the world would change at all. Off the SMS, WTF, it's 2 p.m. and you guys are still on the air. Have I missed something? This is a marathon.
What's
we've locked ourselves in.
Why the fun?
We've locked ourselves in to the studio and we're not letting anyone else in. That bloke clearly hasn't heard about the shit.
Will
the
they
chains.
Forget? what if that?
Don't, because you'll accidentally say what it truly is.
I'm not sure.
No, then you'll be in really big trouble.
Hey, it's been fun.
You know, that was an hour.
It's amazing.
That was 1 hour right there has gone.